listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. Just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch. On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
Officially on the couch with me, Dr. Michelle, your friendly psychologist, as you always are at this time here on LA Talk Radio, the world's most listened to talk radio station. At this time on Fridays, Pacific Standard Time, you know, 11 o'clock in the morning. And today we've got a great show for you, as usual. Now, as you know, I usually talk about various issues, you know, dealing with psychology, the mind, you know, helping you. I always answer listeners' questions, whether you're calling in live or whether you're emailing me at docmichelle@aol.com. That's, of course, where you can ask me questions, you listeners. We always talk about relationships, self-esteem, managing depression, managing the world. How are we going to get around? How are we going to do anything? And I try to help you with that. And I also interview authors and special guests. And superstars, like my guest today. And I want to introduce you to him. He is in the studio live, which is really a pleasure. Famous opera singer, dramatic baritone, vocal coach, John Davies. Welcome to the show, John. So nice to have you here.
Hi there, Doc. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Love the studio. It's nice to be behind a microphone again.
Well, it's nice to have you. And welcome. You know, you have definitely heard him. Listen, I know you've heard him. He's been listened to. He's been watched in more than 230 countries in the world. And one of the main reasons why I'm having John on my show today is, number one, I've never had such a famous artist on my show who can bring such joy to people. I'm so into music therapy, and we'll be talking about that. But I also had the opportunity to observe John this summer as he held a summer singing camp for a lot of young people and teens in Los Angeles. And not only did he donate a full week of his expertise, that was amazing. You were there every day with these kids. Time, expertise, but also what was amazing, talking about being philanthropic. You rewarded each student $100 just for showing up and trying to perform. So that was amazing. I was so impressed the way you helped these kids.
Yeah,
which is great.
Yeah, Doc, there was... There was going to be a prize or one or two larger prizes at the end. And, you know, I thought, well, wait a minute. You know, you can't say that there is one kid that's worth $2,500 here.
Right, right.
You know, and some other kid that's worth $50 or something like that. You know, yeah. Because, you know, the backgrounds in each individual person are different. I mean, there were some people with God-given voices. There were other people with voices who weren't all that great, and they got better voices. They were a bit nervous. Well, I mean, my point is if there's somebody who overcomes bad nerves.
Right.
Well.
And that's what I saw.
Yeah.
You know, and there were about 20 kids or so working with you, and they had all different styles. There was pop and kind of folk music, of course, classical. Yeah. Italian opera. I mean, it was just amazing. You had some gifted vocalists, and you had kids who had good voices and potential, but you really helped them through the end of that week, which was awesome. So that's one of the main reasons, too, that I'm having you on here is because you give so much to people.
Yeah, thank you.
And I really appreciate it. And today I want to, you know, just talk to you about the kinds of music you enjoy. I also want to play some of your music coming up so people can know what I'm talking about. What a world-famous performer you are. And also get people interested in this kind of music. It just seems to me like there's a whole wave now of interest in classical music. and baritone and Italian opera. It really is. Don't you see that coming on?
Yeah. Well, you know, things are changing. I mean, you've got to really move with the times. But at the end of the day, the good singing is good singing.
Yes.
That's what it is.
There you go.
And it's, you know, if you can do artistic singing, and with all due respects to my very famous American colleagues, you know, if you haven't really studied the Italian way of singing, you're just kind of missing out just that little tiny bit.
Right.
Let's face it. The Italians and the French co-invented what we call classical music.
Yes. Yes, right? They really did.
Yeah. And, well, you know, nobody's better at doing it than the people who invented it.
That's right.
And, you know, if you're talking about the American musical tradition and what I call American classical musical tradition, you're looking at things like the USMC bands.
Yes.
Nobody can play better than those guys anywhere
That's
in the
true.
World.
That's and really
that,
true.
They invented it. That was John Philip Sousa started it off. Nobody is ever going to do that better than the Americans.
That's lovely to hear, too. Yeah. You know, it's refreshing as well. So let's talk a little bit about, I'm just kind of throwing some of the stuff at you, because I know that you started your school here in Hollywood just about a month ago or so. And can anyone enter this vocal school of yours, or is it more for people who really want to become classical singers?
Oh no, it's I have trained singers from all.
Yes.
All genres, you know, even heavy metal ones. In fact, heavy metal singers really need more classical technique than a lot of other people, because they are putting very, very, very high-level demands on their vocal equipment. And the only people who know how to deal with that are the classical people. So you can bring your voice along, and anybody can come and see me at my studio. That's the point. They've just got to get in touch, and that's easy to do. But, you know, people bring their voice. We have a look at it and say, well, what do you want to do with this? And I might immediately say, well, you know, that's never going to work.
Right.
But you might be very good at doing it this way. You know, it's kind of like, if I could make a music joke. It's like doing blues in Russian.
Right.
Sorry.
Right. So that's a good analogy. Yeah. So what you can do is you can help people who sing all different kinds of music with your classic background. And so when did you discover your passion for singing?
Well, you know, we had, you know, our dad, you know, used to play this rotten music when we were kids. It was all that classical music stuff. Yuck. And, you know, anyhow, but I found that, you know, he was nuts on the hi-fi. So as soon as a new hi-fi system came out, he got it. And so, you know, the place would be rocking with, you know, music like that. Anyhow, so I had a good memory. And so I found that I could remember stuff. In fact, before I could write, I actually had developed a system of remembering songs.
Yes.
It was so complex.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, but with my blackboard and my chalk.
Yes.
Yeah, so stupid. You heard it here first, folks.
So.
Whatever
works.
Yeah, it worked. And then I, you know, we just always had to go on a choir. There was no, you know, there was no choice in that. You had to. So, turned out I got in there, and when I was 11, there was myself and two other people, Gary Webster and Carol Middleton. This is going back when the dinosaurs were still roaming the earth. They made us soloists in front of this great big choir that sang in the forerunner of the biggest Westfields in the world.
Wow.
They just opened it, and, you know, there was this fountain called a raindrop fountain. So there was about 80 kids or something in the choir, and we were the soloists out front. You know,
yes.
we went really well. And there was people everywhere in what at that time was the biggest shopping mall in the Southern Hemisphere. So, you know,
That's wonderful.
So
that's so exciting. So about 11, 10 years old, you were really interested.
And then, you'd know, you'd do music and instruments and stuff, which I did, and then I had a band started by the time I was 16, and I got my first contract with the ABC, that's the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, doing music with TV shows. And,
That's amazing. In case you just tuned in here on LA Talk Radio, you are on the couch with Dr. Michelle, as you always are this time. My in-studio guest today is famous opera singer John Davies, and he's, of course, dramatic baritone vocal coach. And we are talking to him about his music, how he got started, how you can get excited and inspired, and possibly how you can learn from him if you want to improve your singing, no matter what type of music you do. Like John just mentioned, he works with hard rock vocalists. You know, pop vocalists, of course, people before they get ready to go on American Idol. He's worked with them.
Yeah.
A lot of artists who do all sorts of music. So, John, I just wanted to just take a quick break and have people know where they can contact you. If they'd like to check out your school or check out your website.
Yep, they can go to www.johndaviesmusic.com.
Perfect.
Yep.
And then they can find out about your what's going on in your latest Hollywood school, where you teach people to, you really train them how to sing better.
Yep.
And you teach them not only, you know, the classical ways, but, I mean, you really teach them to work within their genre of music.
What? Yeah, that's exactly. And don't worry about age either.
Yeah.
Don't worry. I had a guy ring up one day.
Mm-hmm.
He'd been thinking about getting lessons, get this, since 1952.
Wow.
And he said, now, look, take me seriously when I started laughing. And I said, well, look, I think I'm going to.
Yes, yes.
He came down, and he was in the war and everything. He served in a Canadian Corps up there.
Wow.
And 85. Yeah, in a couple of weeks, I had him rocking around the kitchen doing Elvis songs, getting friendly with the wife.
There you go. Yeah. Spice things up a little bit, huh?
Hey, now, listen, about the studio.
Yes.
It's down on the lot, what they call the lot, it's
right.
The old United Artists and Warner Brothers studio in Hollywood.
That's on Formosa.
It's Formosa in Santa Monica, mm-hmm. right across the road from the Formosa Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And you got free parking.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. In Hollywood? Are you kidding me?
Yep, free parking in Hollywood, right in my space, too. Yeah.
So that's just information about John's school, where he's, of course, teaching vocalists and whatever kind of music you'd like to, you know, learn, or just it's about improving your voice. So what are some of the favorite venues you've performed at, John? I mean, you are a world-class singer all over the world. What are your most favorite moments that you recall?
Well, I mean, you know, you've got to say Sydney Opera House is a pretty good place to sing.
Yes.
You know, acoustically, it's a nightmare. It's known for that. It's one of the only venues in the world where sound propagates negatively as it travels through the house.
Oh dear.
I've made some great recordings in there.
Yes.
That's great. And some of the great cathedrals of the world are just amazing to sing in.
Mm-hmm.
And I even did something in a Baha'i place.
Mm-hmm.
One of those great big domes, and the sound in there was just astounding.
Oh, that's great. That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. So you've been all over the world. You've performed in so many venues. By the way, in case you didn't know, John was born and raised in Sydney, Australia. I'm sure you knew that by his accent. But he's living here in beautiful downtown Hollywood right now.
I'm trying to make myself be understood a bit better.
Oh, you're fine.
But Australian and American are completely different languages. But thanks for having me.
It's nice to be here. It's nice to have you here. So I was just wondering... who are some of your favorite singers right now?
Well, I mean, Placido Domingo is the genius.
Mm.
He's the genius.
Yes.
And you know, I've got to say, I mean, I'm not too bad as a singer, but that guy has forgotten more music than I'm ever going to know. Yeah, he's just creating the role in Il Postino at the moment with LA Opera.
Mm.
Where his contract has just been renewed for another 5 years as, I think it's artistic director or general manager or something like that. So it's really great that he's staying on. But here he is, you know, at his tender young age, and he's taken on new roles, which is a thing that most singers won't even do after a certain age, and creating new right. music.
Exactly.
The guy's a genius.
He is. He really is.
You know, and he's very, very clever about what he does with his voice, too. Mm-hmm. You know, he does what suits him.
Yes.
Yeah, you know.
And that's nice. He doesn't conform, you know, to what you're, the norm and stuff like that. Yeah. Who are some of your favorite pop singers popular singers right now?
No, I mean, I don't care who says anything about this. One of the only records, one of the only CDs I bought in the last, say, 10 years was Paris Hilton's.
Oh, okay.
The singing on there.
Okay, John, I'm scared. Why are you saying this?
Well, the singing was very, very good.
Really?
It was great.
Now, half my listeners are going, you've got to be kidding me. Yeah. Really?
Absolutely.
That's amazing.
You heard it here first, folks.
Wow.
I've engineered a lot for pop singers.
Yes.
I've made a lot of pop singers records for them. And, you know, to my way of thinking, that there was very, very little fooling around done with that voice, and she just nailed the whole thing. It was great.
I am blown away.
I got to say, it was up there with, the Marilyn Monroe.
Really?
One of the greatest singers in history.
Wow.
If you ask me from a technical point of view.
Yes, yes.
And Elvis. Beyonce is just beyond the blue.
Yeah.
She's just out there.
She's out there. She's
fantastic.
Amazing.
That is one great voice.
Who are some of the pop vocalists who you've recorded?
I've done a lot for ones in Australia.
Okay.
There's jazz and blues ones. I've done jazz and blues ones. Mm-hmm. Paige DeLancey. That wasn't a question on my list, so I didn't actually get to.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I just thought I'd throw that at you. I'm sorry. That's what I do here.
Yeah. Great.
By the way, listeners, if you want to call in and ask John a question, you may do so. The number here in Los Angeles is 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815, whether you're listening in your car or wherever you're at, just pull over to the side because we'd love to hear from you. And again, my guest today is famous opera singer John Davies. He's a dramatic baritone classic singer, in case you've never heard. As a matter of fact, why don't we do this? I want you to know who you're dealing with here, folks. Let's check out Rigoletto. Did I say Rigoletto?
It's Cortigiani from Verdi's opera Rigoletto.
Ooh, I think you said that nicely. Here it is, John Davies. Check this out.
Oh!
Rigoletto. How'd I do on that one, John?
That was great. That
Rigoletto.
You've got to pretend you're in the Italian restaurant.
Oh, that's... sign me up. I'm ready. I want to be sitting there on the pier in Venice.
Oh, there you go.
Right now. And by the way, you just heard John Davies, my special guest, who is in studio with me today. And, you know, one of the things that I really suggest for people in my therapy is for them to relax managing stress to music. And I have asked many of my clients, listeners, they say, hey, doc, what can I use to relax? What kind of music should I? This is the music. I ask them to go on to johndaviesmusic.com or go on to YouTube. You can download his music if you'd like. This is what is really healthy for you. I mean, you can do upbeat, you can do hip-hop, you can do whatever you'd like, whatever turns your screws. But this is the kind of music that's going to lower your blood pressure. It's going to change your brain waves. Research has shown that music with a strong beat, and I'm talking about vocal beat, can stimulate brain waves to resonate in sync and get you in a meditative state. People are saying, I can't stop my thinking. I'm going 100 miles an hour. You know, what can I do? You can listen to this, and you can breathe properly. It'll lower your heart rate, and it can bring you to a more positive state of mind. So not only can you enjoy the classics, if you would like, from John Davies, but you can also learn how to relax and really embrace the classics. I think this is a great way, too, for people to understand classical music, because I don't think a lot of people think, oh, classics, you know, I can listen to the Mozart station here locally, you know, and get the music. But this is how you can really, really feel good and understand this music.
Yeah, Doc, it's interesting you should say that.
Mm-hmm.
There is research on brainwave activity related to voice and things like that. In fact, what is done in the Italian school, has been taught for the last 400 years, is about singing the sounds inside us.
Yes.
Inside. Don't throw it out into the hall, because the hall will do that work on its own. We keep the sound in for the purpose of resonation.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, when I sing and when any of the other Italian singers sing, I don't just feel it in my throat. I don't feel anything in my throat, but I feel vibration in all my cells, right down to my feet, particularly in the muscles at the bottom of my legs.
Interesting.
They actually buzz. Yeah, and so there's a cellular vibration going on the whole time, and I.
Right. Would you mind taking a call from a listener?
Yeah,
maybe
sure.
We have a call coming into the studio and say, hi, you're on the air with Dr. Michelle and my special guest, John Davies. Who's this?
This is Gary from Santa Monica.
Hi, Gary. How are you doing today?
I'm absolutely wonderful. It's so nice to hear John Davies, and thank you so much for having him on your show.
You're welcome. Nice to have him here.
Hi, John. This is Gary.
Hi there, Gary. How's it going down at Santa Monica today?
It's wonderful down here. I just wanted to ask you a question. I heard that you are opening up a studio, and I've heard too many people who can't carry a tune, or they have pitch or rhythm problems with their singing. Can everyone learn how to sing, or is it just for gifted people?
No, it's not. It's not just for gifted people, Gary. People who are referred to as tone deaf, and people who often call themselves tone deaf, are just sort of conditioned that way because they do a couple of crook notes at the barbecue or something, and everybody says, "Oh, shut up, you're terrible," and then they get a bit of a complex about
that's
that.
That's me. I can't carry a tune.
Well, maybe you can, Gary. The percentage of people who refer to themselves as tone deaf or can't carry a tune who are actually pathologically incapable of doing so is very, very, very tiny. And I would have seen probably 5 or 6 people per 1,000 would be actually tone deaf. So it's very unlikely you're tone deaf. I mean, you might sound like a buzz saw in a sawmill, but, you know, that doesn't mean to say you've got any pathology going on.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Are you, so you have attempted to sing, Gary?
Yes, I have. And I don't, I try very, very hard. I've never taken classes, but I've gone, you know, I've listened to YouTube. I sing along, and I do about the best I can. There's no way I could ever do opera, but I do popular music and things like that, and sing in the shower. But I've always wanted to sing, and I really feel the music, but I just don't think I can sing, it scares me.
Let me give you a tip here, Gary. I'm listening to you now. As you're breathing, you're actually breathing your air directly onto your vocal cords, and it's dehydrating your vocal cords right now. I can hear you on the phone plain as day. So what you're supposed to be doing is keeping those vocal cords nice and moist, and you'll find that after, like, I guess typically you'd be a person who'd be talking for 30 minutes or something, and you'd start getting a sore voice, or you get a sore voice at the ball game or something. That's because your air is going...
Yes.
Yep, there you go. Your air is going straight onto your vocal cords. That's what's happening. They're supposed to be supple and moist there, Gary, so, you know.
So you're talking about... Are you talking about hydration here? Are you talking about breathing and where the vocal voice should come from?
Well, Gary's inside? Actually breathing his air straight onto his vocal cords,
right.
And it's dehydrating them.
Right.
So,
right, I
yeah,
see.
So they're not working as freely as they should there, Gary. I can hear that over the
That's
the phone.
That's amazing.
Here.
That's amazing. So maybe if Gary go ahead, Gary. I'm sorry.
So if I came to you, you could possibly help me.
Oh yeah, for sure. Why don't you give it a shot?
That's wonderful. So I think I've got the website. Could you give it to me again?
Yep, www.johndaviesmusic.com.
All right, and then
wonderful.
You're pretty
fantastic.
Close. You said you're in Santa Monica, right? You're pretty close
yes.
Because the studio is in Hollywood, and that's where you can check him out. You can just go online and contact him from there and sign up for his music or classes.
That is true.
Usually one day a week, and I think, you know, that will greatly help you out. He's a listening expert
John,
as well.
I just love John's music. It's just wonderful.
Yeah, it
thank
is beautiful.
Thank you, Gary. That's nice to hear.
Gary, thank you so much for calling in. Hope we helped you a lot.
Oh, you did. Thank
okay,
you.
Great. Have a great day
bye-bye.
Now. Bye-bye. All right, very nice. See, I mean, I'm blown away. Okay.
Well,
that you could hear that.
Yeah, but the guy said he was losing his voice.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's exactly.
Typical.
That is amazing.
Typical. Yeah.
I work with a lot of people who are announcers. You know, on the radio. I've worked in radio for years.
Yeah.
So does it necessarily mean that people who've studied radio or studied talking voice work are good singers or can become good singers?
Because they're more familiar with their voice, you know, it's more like a personal thing. They've got more connection with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they are likely to be, you know, a bit more capable. Yep.
Yes.
However... a lot of people in radio have a little bit of a problem on account of the microphones in
right.
front of them,
right.
and that tends to externalize everything, and it actually changes the angle of the bones in the throat when they're trying to bring everything forward, and so it can lead to vocal strain. And I've had a couple of people working in radio come in, and they've had similar problems,
right?
You know, getting a sore voice and
sure,
know, yeah.
Wow, that's fascinating. I mean,
and so what you do is say, you know, if anybody's listening, just say, well, the microphone is like an ear. It actually comes to you. You don't have to go out to it. So you just sit and talk in your own space, and the microphone will do its own work.
So, by the way, folks, if you just tuned in, my special guest today is famous singer John Davies, opera baritone. He has a studio where he coaches singers in Hollywood, and you can contact him. At his website, johndaviesmusic.com. And if you have any other questions about today's interview or any information, you can find me here at Doc Michelle, docmichelle@aol.com, or find me on my website, Dr. Michelle Therapy. It's abbreviated DR, Michelle with two L's, therapy.com. And so what are some of the most common mistakes that people make in singing?
Well, I think one of the most common mistakes is that they get taught at school or whatever in public speaking and that sort of thing, that they've got to throw their voice out forward to the audience. And all that does is it it makes the sound leave their body too soon, so they can't make it beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it also gives them vocal strain.
Right.
And so what we do is actually just leave the voice exactly where it is.
Hmm.
We don't sort of, like if you're talking about a guitar, you know, the resonator on the guitar is attached to it.
Right.
So the resonators for the voice are inside our body. So why would we throw our voice out front? Answer, we don't. But, you know, there was a book came out in 1842 that actually suggested that that should be done. And the author of the book held it out to being the new scientific approach to singing. You can still buy that book, brand new, hot off the press, and it's still called The Scientific Approach to Singing, and it was done in 1842.
Wow.
They hadn't even invented lab rats by then.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I don't know.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and so he wrote that you should project your voice out forward, and that was the end of it. Because it was the first textbook that could be easily gotten by somebody who wanted to learn to sing or something like that, 1842. Mm. And, of course, everybody got a copy.
Right,
and
exactly.
That was the end of it, yeah. And it suggested that people should breathe all the wrong ways and everything like that. Yeah, it was terrible.
So go to John Davies' studio and find out more about how to sing well. Do it right and do it in the healthy way. We were talking about, you know, music being healthy for you. You know, there's this whole science of mind thing about elevating the vibrations within our body, you know, elevating the state. So our brain harmonizes with that overall well-being. And it has to do with listening to music. It has to do with, you know, relaxing and breathing, projecting music, speaking to learn how to sing, learn how to speak well. So do you think it's fair to suggest that being able to sing well and expressing the meaning of a song may help people get in touch with their feelings? In other words, if people understand the meaning of a song, like the Italian operas, the French, can they learn to be more in touch with their feelings? Do you teach them to not think, but to feel more?
Oh, yeah. Well, in fact, you're closer to the facts there than what you'd actually guess, I think, Doc. The bottom line is that the primary sense that singers use to perform is not hearing. Hmm. It's our internal sense of touch.
Yes.
Proprioception, I think they call it, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So we sing via proprioception. And in fact, I'm not the only one who does this, but lots of us do it. I put sound dampening earplugs in to do my practice.
Really?
So as I'm only feeling what I'm doing.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and of course, you've recorded the difference between listening to what you're doing and others listening to what they're doing and how you're feeling what you're doing.
Yeah.
So part of your coaching as well and training is helping people feel what they're singing, feel the music.
Internally.
Yes.
Because, you know, they say, oh, this song's got a different feeling to that. And that,
right.
You know, the different groove and different vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in fact, you know, Mozart is a whole different bodily experience from, say, Verdi.
Yes.
And Wagner's a different one again. And it's the internal rhythm and the pulsations and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, if getting back, referring back to the last question,
mm-hmm.
if you were throwing it all out in front, what's to feel inside your body? Not much.
Yes, it's true.
Yeah. So what we do is we feel it all inside. And, you know, each song has a different feel to it. So when I say once more with feeling, I guess that really means put some emotion into it.
Sure.
And in fact, we don't do that. We actually make it feel different inside in the body, i.e. we'll make a song, for example, take up more space in our body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make the notes take up more body space, or we'll give them less body space to achieve a different, say, color of sound. You
right,
know?
Right.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah, so you could have something like, you know, I could go, you know, like that.
Yes, yes,
or,
I'm loving this.
Or I could internalize it and give it more body space, and it'll go, the same notes will go, see the difference?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one was a sort of a kind of bright yellowy color, and the second one was a kind of a bit deeper color, but I felt them different in my body.
That's amazing.
Even though I'm sitting down here.
Yeah, that's right. And so speaking about sitting down here, I also noticed in the summer camp where you taught, like I said, folks, I had the ability to go to downtown Los Angeles and watch some of the students perform in their last day of John's vocal camp, which he donated his time to, you know, for young people and teens. And what I also noticed is that you had them stand in certain ways. Once they changed their body, their voices opened up. They sounded better. So there's a whole thing about your body position and arm position, right?
That's
So if you is it if you're more relaxed, possibly you sing better, or if your muscles are tense, you're not as singing as well?
Correct. If your muscles are tense, then you're stopping free resonance in your body. So what we do, we say, okay, well, in biomechanics, the skeleton is there to provide form and shape.
Yes.
Among other things, I mean, without bones, you don't get in the blood, you know. And the muscles are there for movement. So if you're standing still, why do the muscles need to be tight? Answer, they don't. Just those muscles that keep you balanced, you know. And, and that's a question of what I believe they refer to as homeostasis. Okay, so I'm a bit out of my area there.
No, you're doing. You got it.
but the bones actually conduct sound right down to the floor. And one of the oldest tricks in the book, we hate singing on concrete floors and marble floors and stuff, makes it a bit hard in cathedrals.
Yes.
We like timber stages because we get the sound down underneath the stage and use that big space under the stage as a resonator.
Wow. And you're using this as well when you're teaching people as visuals.
Yep.
Oh, that's amazing. I don't think people really have an idea of how much goes into this, because you're a listening expert and a vocal coach as well, and I don't think people really, I don't think anybody's really ever heard this kind of thing. I mean, who hasn't studied classically before? So it's really amazing, and I'm sure my listeners are enjoying it. Folks, by the way, in case you just tuned in here on LA Talk Radio, the world's most listened to internet talk station, you're on the couch with me, Dr. Michelle, and my special in-studio guest today is John Davies. Of course, he's the famous baritone classical opera singer and, of course, a vocal coach, a listening expert. By the way, you have something coming up really cool this Sunday. It's the Omni Youth and Music, Youth Music and Actor Awards, right?
Yep.
And that's at the Coburn School?
Yep.
Can you tell us more about that?
It's down at Zipper Hall. I think it starts at 4:15.
All right, and that's this Sunday.
This Sunday, and it's the Omni Youth Awards. They recognize youth actors and singers, musicians, and every year they award some celebrity awards. And this year there's Lou Gossett Jr.
Lovely.
You're the Academy Award winner.
Oh yes.
There's Tony Planner, who is the dad in Ugly Betty, and there's myself. I'm getting the music one out of the three of us.
Oh, that's wonderful! Congratulations. Yeah. So you are receiving an award, and if people want to come down and see those awards, they can still do so, right?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. It's the Omni Youth Music and Actor Awards, and John Davies will be receiving an award this Sunday at the Coburn School. So that'll be lovely, about 4 p.m.
4 p.m.
Yep, great. Well, congratulations to you. That's amazing. Of course, you've received a lot of awards.
Yeah, I've got a few.
Yeah. And, you know, we were talking also about the work that you are doing with the Vatican. Can you share with listeners a little bit more about that?
Yes. Well, in fact, I'm not working with the Vatican per se.
Okay.
What happened was, is on October 17, Mary MacKillop, who was an Australian nun at the Sisters of St. Joseph, she's becoming a saint, and that she's the first ever Australian saint.
Oh.
And way back when, 90-something, the Sisters of St. Joseph commissioned me to write the celebrational music for the canonization of Mary MacKillop.
Oh, that's lovely.
And I did that commission free as a charitable thing for them.
Lovely.
And so that work currently exists. There's a group, who are trying to produce it, you know, because large works are not cheap. That's the thing.
Absolutely.
They're not cheap to put together. wherever they're doing it, I actually don't know, but there's a bit of a team looking around. Maybe I think they're looking at Europe as a premier performance, you know, and they're going to make a DVD and a CD.
Yes.
That's what they want to do, because my stipulation is anybody can produce it, but 15% of all the profits got to go back to the Sisters St. Joseph to help them with their charitable works. Now, they were in Peru, they were in Brazil. They've been all over. They've got missionaries and everything all over the world.
Yes.
And they need to be funded. So, you know, with a DVD and a CD, you can fund them. So wherever they produce it, I don't care, but it will get some funding occurring.
That's wonderful. Yeah. That is really amazing. Have you written it yet?
Oh,
it's done.
It's done.
Oh,
it's,
that's amazing. And you're singing.
I will be singing,
So you're going to record it for them?
Yep.
Lovely. Is this going to be a live?
It's going to be live. Oh. It's just where they're going to do it.
They're just looking for the venue right now in Europe.
Well, yeah, they've got to look for the venue. Mm-hmm. I think the real issue is they've got to look for the money first.
Okay.
Because, you know, when you're getting 80 singers, you've got a symphony orchestra, you've got to have world-class soloists. It all costs money, so...
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Thank you, Doc. Yeah.
That's very exciting. You've never done anything like that before.
What?
Write something for a saint.
Not a lot of people get to write stuff for saints. No, that's a point. I never thought of that. Yeah.
Well, you know, we were also talking about, so you are a listening expert. Of course, you're a vocal coach for all types of singers, classic, pop, rock, whatever. You also work in the legal community to testify in cases that are relevant to vocal matters. I, without breaching confidentiality, what types of cases would require this kind of thing?
Yeah, well, I've done a few things as what do they call them here? They call them expert witnesses?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you'll have somebody who sustained some kind of a spinal injury at work.
Yes.
Or, you know, on a stage or something like that, typically, or whatever. And then, you know, you've got to say, well, how much does that impair a person's ability to be able to sing? Right. So because it's all connected.
Right.
You know, so you need to be able to make some kind of an assessment as to what their future career would be. And, you know, even their earnings, which I can do.
Right, sure.
And then
legal cases here.
Yeah. Then you'll have things like somebody claiming that they've got voice loss because of some kind of traumatic thing. I remember advising on one of those, and I said it was a scam.
Really?
Yeah.
No, very interesting. Yes, I can't sing because I was so traumatized and now I can't.
Yeah.
Right.
Now that does happen.
Right.
That does happen because, you know, if people get very, 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 very emotional or they have a fright, as you know, there's an American phrase, don't it get you right in the neck.
That's right.
Right? That's it. And it
no,
does.
That's right.
That's what it means.
Yeah.
And, you know, so people can just be struck dumb, you know, that's fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I've heard some of those things, you know, dealing with clients myself, you know, with post-traumatic stress disorder.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, of course, which is, you know, it's happening all the time now. But with people who, you know, have had certain traumatic events happen to them, you know, before their performances.
Yeah.
I mean, during their performances, before they've sung quite well. And then, you know, then something would happen. And then after performances, they're stuck. You know, in some way. But, I mean, there's some truth to that people can have injury psychologically because they can't bring it out anymore. You know, it's all about the mind, like you said.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, the best state to be in, to be seen, is where you don't have anything negative going on.
Right.
And I'm personally very, very, very quick to cut off anything that has a negative vibe to it. Like somebody will say, oh, gee, you got a great suntan. Look out for, you know, be careful.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Like, The meaning of that to me is, yes. Oh, you've got a great tan. You must have been out in the sun. You're going to die of cancer.
Right.
So immediately I say, goodbye.
Yes.
You don't need to be in my life. I've got to do some beautiful art for people.
Yes.
I don't
yes.
want any negative. So, you know, and you've got to sort of stick up for yourself there, because so many people are having such a tough time themselves. They sort of want to share that. Oh, well, you know, you're
absolutely
a doc. But so the idea is to have a sort of state going on where you don't get too high, you don't get low, you don't get, you know,
it's called
happy.
Stable. It's yeah. called being stable.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly. And when, yeah. you know, within the community, one of the most popular types of therapy now, they're calling it positive psychotherapy, you know, where you monitor your thoughts, basically. I mean, it's old school, you know, just vibrational thought and what you put out, what you get back, you know, everybody's turned it into, you know, some kind of spiritual lingo right now. But I mean, really, truly, it all, I believe, is exactly if you can negate the negativity that's coming to you from other people, you know, just be the most positive person you are, help others. Try to stay in a stable mood most every day. Of course, we have ups and downs in our lives. We have issues we have to deal with. But no, I think that's so true. And you teach that as well, possibly to other people, in order to affect their voice.
Yeah.
And how they think.
Well, I mean, you basically, if you're being a classical singer,
yes,
you've got to produce every time you open your mouth. You've got to be producing an audible artwork.
Absolutely.
In the same order as a Michelangelo.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And there has to be this audible aesthetic, and people say, oh, that's beautiful. Well, mm-hmm. I mean, you just think about it. How can a person who's actually really shredded by nerves and, mm-hmm. you know, that just had their 16th divorce and
right.
what have
yeah.
you,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
You know, and they've lost another $50 million on their last bet.
Yeah.
I mean, are they going to be very good for singing? No. Mm-hmm. Mind you,
mm-hmm.
there's a positive win-win situation. I've noticed over the years you get people come in and it soon becomes obvious that they've had some very bad trauma.
Yes.
I say nothing about it.
Right.
I just get them to sing really nice and all of a sudden their life's going much better.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, so you can get your therapy and learn to sing well, or
there you
can learn to sing well and get rid of your therapy.
That's beautiful.
I really hear you.
I hear what you're saying.
That is the way it works.
And, you know, by the mind working and the body working correctly, it really is therapeutic for helping people and getting them set right. And, gosh, we're out of time already. Thank you so much, John, for being in the studio with me today. It's just really been a pleasure.
Thanks for having me here.
Really
Doc.
Enlightening.
Yeah.
It's always great.
Thanks very much.
And by the way, people, if you would like to get in touch with John Davies, famous baritone, classic opera singer. Also, he has a school. He is teaching, actually, it's a studio in Hollywood. You can find more information about that if you want to learn how to sing better. It's, of course, johndaviesmusic.com. That's www.johndaviesmusic.com. Also, he's going to be awarded Sunday at the Omni Youth Music and Actor Awards, which is fabulous. So, you know, just go ahead and look at his website. You'll really enjoy it. You want to learn to be a better singer. You want to maybe feel better about yourself and what you're doing. Or you just want to, as I do, download some of his music. You can find it there as well. And that'll help you relax a little bit more. It's like a meditative, focused state when you know what you're doing. Which leads me to this. Thank you so much, John, for being my guest.
Thank you, Doc.
All right. We're going to check this out a little bit as we go out. There's John. Have a great day. I'll talk to you next week. Same time, same place. LA Talk Radio. Dr. Michelle out.